This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, you speak to us today about the kingdom of heaven, about your grace that we do not have to earn, about your love that is without condition. Give us ears to hear, minds to know, hearts to love as you love. Amen. Please be seated. But it's not fair. It's not fair. How many times have we heard this in our lives or said it ourselves, not only as children, but grown-ups too? Just the path. It's not fair that they got their electricity on and we didn't. It's right across the street. What is wrong? It's not fair. I came across this Louis C.K. clip. Now, I just have a disclaimer. I know Louis C.K. can be a little bawdy, but in this clip, he gives a lesson to his little girl about fairness. She wants a mango pop. She sees her sister has one, and she wants a mango pop, and there's only one. So Louis C.K. is cooking dinner, and he's going to be teaching her about fairness. Let's watch.
Can I have a mango pop?
No, there's only one.
That's not fair. It's not fair, Daddy.
What?
Lily got a mango pop and I didn't get one.
Yep.
Well, that's not fair.
I don't even know what that means.
Why does she get one and not me?
Because she's a separate person from you. You're never going to get the same things as other people. It's never going to be equal. It's not going to happen ever in your life. So you might as well learn that now, okay?
Well, then I get something else. Yummy.
You
get something else.
What do you mean you get?
I get something else.
No, nobody. Jane, nobody gets anything.
She got something. She got a mango pop.
Yeah, that's right now she's lucky. And you're not particularly lucky. Maybe later you'll be lucky. Maybe
but it's
some point.
Not fair.
You only should be concerned with what somebody else
gets. It's not fair.
I'm telling you something right now. You should only ever be concerned with what's...
You're not fair.
Listen to me. The only time you look in your neighbor's bowl is to make sure that they have enough. You don't look in your neighbor's bowl to see if they have as to make sure you have as much as them. You want to just make sure that they are. If
can I just have some calcium chocolate?
Yes, you can have a calcium chocolate. Make sure your sister gets one too.
Thank you, Daddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Right. So at the end there, she kind of gets his point. When we look into our neighbor's bowl, we should only be concerned with whether our neighbor has enough, not whether we have the same. I just have to say, Father Marty was talking about fairness at the earlier services, and he had a great example that if a parent says to their kids, okay, it's up to you to cut this candy bar in half, that never before in your life is it going to be so exactly half, right, than when you have to give half to a sibling. At the end there, though, what CK does is he kind of goes back on his lesson a little bit, right? She says, well, then I want a chocolate. And he says, okay, you can have a chocolate. Make sure your sister has one. So he kind of goes back on that a little bit, like most of us as parents do in our imperfection. Why they're allowed to have chocolate before dinner, I don't know, but that's another subject. This idea of human fairness is such a universal trait all the way through life. The teenager complains to the mother, Mom, it's not fair that I can't go to the party and everybody else is going just because the parents aren't home. It's not fair. A young woman says to her girlfriends after work one day, it's not fair that he has the bigger office and I do the exact same work. It's not fair. A single man says, it's not fair that all my friends are happily married and I don't even have a girlfriend. It's not fair. It's not fair that my cell phone company values the new customer more than me. when I've been a customer for so long. An older man says to his friend, it's not fair that I worked all my life, I get close to retirement, and now they let me go. It's not fair. A migrant worker doing day work stands on the street corner all day waiting to be hired, and he isn't. And he goes home to his wife at night, and he said, it isn't fair. Joe got hired. How come I didn't get hired? Or the grandmother in Puerto Rico today, or in the Lower Keys, or Texas, or Mexico, or Myanmar, or out battling in fires out west, prays to her Lord, saying, Lord, it's not fair that everything I have is now ruined, and that we have to start over, and that my nephew died in that fire. Why, Lord, why? It's not fair. From the minor to the tragic, we want justice. We want equality. Even when it's the other way around. When we've been spared the storm, we get a break, we get the bigger office, or we are born into a country or a neighborhood or a family with way better advantages or living conditions than others, we might hopefully say the same thing, it's not fair. And then, hopefully, we work to help those who are in need, no matter what we have. But today's parable offers us something even deeper than that. In today's parable, Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom of heaven. This is an example of what he says the kingdom of heaven is like. It's not about God blessing some people and not others. That is not God's economy. In this parable, all are blessed. The landowner who pays the worker in the vineyard that is hired at the last hour of the workday decides to pay him the exact same wage as the guy that worked all day long. And actually, in those days, it was pretty common for landowners to take care of not only the worker, but their families too, especially in hard situations. And it happens today as well, sometimes. Maybe, just maybe, this worker wasn't visible to the landowner when he first went out looking for workers to come into the vineyard. Just maybe. Maybe this worker had been looking for work all day long everywhere, and he had found none that day. All we know is that he wasn't hired, and the landowner chose to give him the usual daily wage so that he could feed his family. We aren't to take these parables literally. Jesus is describing the kingdom of God here. It's never too late for the kingdom of God. It's never too late to work in the vineyard and reap the benefits. It's never too late to receive the love of God. It's never too late, and God's going to wait forever until we say yes and consent to that presence and activity of God within us and through us. When somebody comes forward here at the altar and they put their hands out to receive, we are not going to say, have you earned it? Show me the card that says you deserve to receive Holy Communion. When somebody comes to receive a hot meal on a Friday night at Holy Redeemer's food pantry, they don't say, do you deserve it? When we go down to the Dominican Republic and work, or like we're going to do when we go down to the Keys, we're not going to ask them why they're putting up with conditions the way they are. Why do you continue to live in the Keys? Why don't you work your way out of the poverty in the midst of this place in the Dominican Republic? We don't do that. We feed them. We give them a leg up. We help. In God's realm, we are stretched beyond fairness, beyond judgment, and we're called to a higher ethic, a higher way of being. There's a great site that I listen to once in a while in sermon preparation that's called Pulpit Fiction. If you ever want to listen, they just give great insights about the gospel for the coming week. And this week, the pastor, Eric Thistler and Rob McCoy, talk about this beginning faith and mature faith, so that in the beginning of our faith, we may look at an awful situation or a situation that does seem unfair in a kind of tit-for-tat way, or the person that's committing the unfairness, we might say something like, oh, well, he'll get his in the end. Karma's going to catch up with him. They'll get what's coming to them, right? That's an immature faith, these pastors propose, quite wisely. And then they point out that this parable is about us when our faith matures, so that we know we don't have to earn God's grace, and that God is not going to give us what we deserve. Thank God. Right? When we think of it from our own way of being, we're happy that God is so unconditional with us and grateful to be able to know how deeply we are loved. Nobody gets more of God's love than another. No one. Each one of us gets it all. Well, remember the little girl in the video at the beginning and how I said that he kind of went back on the lesson there at the end? Well, I got to thinking that maybe he even was teaching her a deeper lesson at the end. Maybe he was teaching her still about the kingdom of heaven. She isn't able to get what she wanted in the first place, the mango pop. And so then at the end she asks for the chocolate, and he says, yes, you can have one, and be sure your sister gets one too. He's teaching her about that generosity, a deeper lesson of not being just about herself. She seeks an alternative way and then acts for her sister the way she wants her sister to act toward her. This is Golden Rule 101, Gospel 101. In closing, I'd like to read you a poem that St. Augustine wrote way, way back, centuries and centuries ago. And this poem was From Him to God, describing how it is never too late. Late have I loved you, beauty so old and so new. Late have I loved you, and see, you were within, and I was in the external world, and sought you there. And in my unlovely state, I plunged into those creature things which you made. You were with me, and I was not with you. The lovely things kept me far from you, though if they did not have their existence in you, they had no existence at all. You called and cried out loud and shattered my deafness. You were radiant and resplendent, and you put to flight my blindness. You were fragrant, and I drew in my breath, and now I pant after you, God. I tasted you, and I feel but hunger and thirst for you. You touched me, and I am set on fire to attain the peace which is yours. Amen. It is never too late to receive the love of God.